Well, hello, my beautiful people. So, I do apologize if I yawn a little bit during this. I have been working my ass off. I'm so tired. It's ridiculous. It's great, but it's ridiculous. Like, I'm exhausted. And I have been literally thriving on coffee and energy drinks for the past, like, 6 days. It's the only way that I'm staying sane or somewhat sane. And I can't guarantee that I'm not going insane. I can't respond to text messages right now. I just can't. Life's just been a lot. And it's not even life. It's just like my career has just been a lot. It's been great, but it's been a lot. There's a lot of really great things happening, and it's just been a ton. Let me catch you up. So, if you paid attention to Irregular Exposure today, March 1st, then you saw that we released a raffle. This raffle is for two Beyoncé tickets. One with, like, it's whoever wins is like, you get to take your bestie, so you get two Beyoncé floor tickets, and then you get, like, a private flight out here to LA. Like, all this, like, really great stuff. Or not private flight, but a paid-for flight here to LA, a private driver to the concert. Like, all really great big things. We came up with this literally Monday. We came up with this Monday afternoon. I worked on it all day Tuesday to make sure that it was ready to launch on Wednesday at 5 a.m. I launched it. It's doing well. I'm so tired. Like, I'm so tired. My brain has been on 12. I have a meeting, a massive marketing meeting on Friday. I haven't finished anything for it. I've like got ideas. I've got the general like breakdown of what I want to do, but it's putting in all that fine print, all those details, making sure that everything's perfect because this is a campaign that can't fucking flop. And I don't think people understand that whenever, like, you hear about marketing or whatever and you're like, oh, it's just marketing. Marketing is the reason you buy everything you buy. Marketing is the reason that you do everything you do. Like, influencers are just marketers. Like, at the end of the day, half of what the world does is market. Because if you don't make your product appealing, then how is somebody going to buy it? And not only am I in charge of marketing, but I'm moving into the director of brand operations. So that means I'm in charge of branding and marketing. And people associate those as the same things, just like they associate marketing and PR together. All three of those are three branches to the large tree of like noticeability, accountability, and just like straight up being successful in the world, like in your industry. So, that being said, recently, life's been a lot. I'm tired. I am starting to feel a little burnt. I'm starting to feel a little exhausted. I am coming home and I'll eat and I'll fall asleep for like 4 or 5 hours and then I'm up usually the rest of the night. Like, I'll probably be up the rest of the night, honestly. Like, I'm about to go grab my Red Bull out of the fridge because I have so much that needs to get done that I just don't have time to do tomorrow. Like, this Beyoncé campaign is so much fun. I'm so excited, but I'm not a beehive. So, I'm not a part of the beehive. So, like, it's harder for me, and I'm having to really like research and dive into everything. So, like, I spent 3 hours today watching YouTube videos about Beyoncé. Like, I spent 3 hours listening to her lingo, listening to the way they talk, like she talks, listening to the way that she does things, wanting to make sure that my marketing was on point and it actually like associated well with Beyoncé. Like, it seemed like something Beyoncé would do. Like, it needed to be that level of marketing genius. And don't get me wrong, like, I am like, Beyoncé is good at marketing. Do I feel like she's marketing genius? No. There are companies and artists that I think are a little bit more marketing genius. However, my ads manager today, whenever we were sitting there and I was telling him everything about this whole thing, he goes, wow, I just love when everybody's in their mad genius. And I was like, yo, like, it's literally been like Jess has been designing and she's been like going crazy with designs. I've been over here going crazy with campaigns, trying to make sure that I'm like making sense of everything. And my brain is tired. Like, my brain is about to hit sleep mode. We're almost gone. And I know that Friday is my presentation. And then Saturday, I've got to do some entrepreneur stuff. I've got to finish some stuff for Bridal Bell. Like, there's so many things that have to get done. Like, I don't think people understand, like, so many things that have to get done. And I'm tired. Your girl is tired. But I digress. I'm excited because I am really excited about the topic that I have today. And I feel like it just does so well with the intro that I just accidentally gave. I'm telling you guys, I'm sitting here blinking and like falling asleep. Like, I've got to go grab my Red Bull. Like, this is ridiculous. But the topic today is, which one do I want to do? I wrote down six topics because, fun fact, I'm going to do an episode daily. I released a podcast right before this and it's called The Month of Me, or Welcome to the Month of Me. And this is me releasing a podcast every single day up until my birthday. So there will be 13 new podcast episodes come out. And then I'll probably have the week after my birthday off because Josephine's going to need a breather. I'm literally not stopping. And so this month is going to be one of the hardest months of the year, and it always is. It's always exhausting. It always kills me. But yeah, it's going to be a really tough month and I'm really excited. I just wish I could get my apartment clean. So let's talk about Don't Call Me a Girl Boss. I have had this as a topic for a minute. I hate the word girl boss. Like, that phrase, that whole like ideology of girl boss, it's the most annoying thing to me. And I'm not a person that's real big on like, I'm a feminist, or like real big on like with the girls. Like, honestly, women piss me off. Like, women piss me off semi-frequently. So I don't deem myself one with the girls, or anything like that. Like, yes, I am a woman, so I would like to be treated fairly and respectfully. But I'm also someone that, you know, like really dives into the traditional mindset of like, I like to be sitting in my femininity. I like to be sitting and being taken care of. I didn't realize how nice it was to be taken care of until I was taken care of, and I really enjoyed it. It was really nice. Made me really happy. Do I think that and it didn't take away my independence. And I feel like it's what like people have a tendency to think is like, if you are one to sit in your femininity and sit in, you know, just like, oh, well, I'm a beautiful woman. Well, yeah, you are. Use that to your advantage, baby. Like, let's talk about how women can rule the world. We do. We do. There's your sneeze, Jess. But we really do. Like, we were... Shoot. We were talking the other day, like, me and a couple of friends. And I was like, at the end of the day, the woman is the neck. While the man might be the head of the house, the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head wherever she wants. And now this came from my Big Fat Greek Wedding. This is not an original thought for me. And they were like, I had never thought of it that way. And I was like, yo, like, we as women can use our femininity as a power. It is a power. It's not something we should be ashamed of. It's not something we should try and hide. But do not dehumanize me because I am a woman. Do not see me as less than because I am a woman. Like, one way to piss me the fuck off is to call me a girl boss. And the reason for that is I feel like it's rude, just plain up fucking rude, to call me a girl boss because you deem me as like, oh my God, it's so impressive that you did that as a woman. Bitch, do what? Like, do what? You're fucking lying right now. Say psych right now. Right fucking now. Like, no. No. It is not that. It is not the bullshit of that. Like, nothing will bother me more than being called a girl boss. And the thing is, like, around my house, I have stuff that says girl boss because people thought it was so supportive to call me a girl boss. And I love that. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. They don't know that that's my least favorite phrase on God's green earth. They don't know any better. So I take the gift and I put it up in my house and I take the picture and I move on with my life. But nothing bothers me more than that because it's just like, it's already sitting there and saying, it's so much more impressive that you did it because you're a woman. And don't get me wrong, as a woman, obviously we deal with some shit. Like, we deal with some bullshit whenever it comes to like making a name for ourselves in this world. But we are women, so we can make a name for ourselves in this world differently than anybody else. Like, I've never met a woman that is, like, the same person as someone else besides Hailey Bieber, which, like, I'm team Selena all the way, always have been. Actually, me and Amanda were talking about this last night on how the fuck Hailey hasn't gotten canceled already. Like, she's done some really atrocious things, and, like, people have just low-key looked past it. And now, all of a sudden, now that she's, like, really, truly fucking with Selena and people are seeing the patterns, they're like, oh, my God, cancel Hailey. I'm like, y'all are hilarious. Why haven't we canceled her yet? Like, we should have done that a long time ago. And so, I just find it funny. I just think it's funny. Anyways, I don't care for this phrase, girl boss. And any person that I have spoke to and I've explained this reasoning of, like, I don't like girl boss, they're like, yes, but you like to live in your femininity. I'm like, me working in my femininity and letting my femininity work for me is not me being a girl boss. That's still me being a boss, but doing it differently than anybody else. It's me just doing my shit. Like, there is something I will never forget, and it's just, okay, so chains are really big in the African-American culture, and, you know, like, every person that I go out with, like, every guy I go out with and shit like that, they always got their chains, and I love a good chain. Like, makes a man 10 times harder. Can't convince me otherwise. Like, they are so pretty with jewelry. Like, jewelry is literally makeup for men, I'm convinced. And if you're a man that wears jewelry, you already have my panties wet. Like, yes, I love men with jewelry. And so these chains, like, it's like she was talking about it, and she was telling me, she's like, you know, guys will have their chain days. Like, they're, it's like literally like your chain day. Like, whenever you do something and it's like you get your chain on, it's like a christening almost. And I'm like, do what? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, whatever. And she's like, no, one of these days, whenever we get up in this bitch, I'm gonna come around with your big chain that says Big Joe's on it, and it's gonna be, yes, your motherfucking chain day. And I tell you what, I am working so hard because I want that day. I want that moment. I want that time in the spotlight. I want that camera on me and just come around with my chain that says Big Joe's. Like, I want that shit more than life itself. And I want to be able to walk into a club with a chain that says Big Joe's on it and be like, yeah, that's fucking me. So if you want to know who I am, if you want to know how I did it, buy a course. Like, like, I don't think that people understand. Like, it's so funny to me. Oh my God, it's so funny to me. Like, I was literally thinking about that, and I'm like, I'm working hard because I want that moment. Like, I just want that fucking moment of, like, damn, this girl right here. But does that make me a girl boss? No, I'm still just a fucking boss. Like, if I were to walk, like, chains are status symbols, right? Let's be honest. Chains, designers, bags, all that shit, status symbols. So if I walk into somewhere with a designer bag, I'm immediately respected differently. If I walk in with a chain on and I'm surrounded, like, I'm in this big club on Sunset or whatever, and I have a chain on and a designer bag on my arm, I'm a different kind of respected. Like, I'm deemed a baddie at that point. I might not look like the baddie that, you know, is a traditional baddie or whatever the fuck you want to call it, but I'm deemed a baddie in that moment because don't fuck with her. And that's really all a baddie is. Like, I don't... switch topics for a second. The Instagram baddie is something that really baffles me because it's all on a look, right? It's all on an aesthetic. But at the end of the day, like, I remember I talked to Kai about this months ago. Like, we were still dating at the time, and I remember looking at him and we were talking about this music video that we were watching, because whenever we were at his place, he always had music videos on, which is something that, like, I forget that music videos exist. Like, since I've gotten so used to, like, my Spotify and shit like that, I forget that music videos exist. Like, if you're not The Big Bang Theory, Sex and the City, or How I Met Your Mother, I probably don't know you fucking exist. Like, I either watch those shows or I'm listening to Spotify. There's literally no in between. And, like, Lil Baby just came out with the visuals for Forever, and Forever is one of my favorite songs this year. Like, I've loved it so much, it's been on repeat. And so, like, I started to watch it. I get so bored with music videos. Like, they bore the living everything out of me. And so he would always have these music videos on, and there was one that came on, and I remember being like, do you deem her a baddie? And he goes, well, yeah. And I was like, am I a baddie? And he goes, well, Josephine, in all fairness, your aesthetic is, like, a little different. Like, you've got a mosh posh of shit. Like, you can be a baddie one day, and then you're, like, a southern sweetheart the next day, and then you look like you, like, just rolled up to the music studio with your hoodie and oversized sweats, and you're just, like, your glasses and messy bun, and you're just, like, vibing. And then the next day, you're, like, a corporate baddie. He's, like, it's, you have such an odd aesthetic that you're, like, it's your own, truly. Like, you don't let anybody tell you what the fuck to wear, and you just vibe out. And I was like, oh, I feel so complimented right now. And he goes, not to mention, he's like, I don't deem you a baddie, because typically a baddie is stupid as shit. He's like, there's very few that I've met that, like, are an Instagram baddie, and they truly, like, on their Instagram are a baddie. And you're, like, talking to them, or, like, even on their TikTok, they're not smart. Like, they're dull as all get out. Like, I hate talking to them. And I was like, I guess that makes me feel good. Like, my brain is there. And he goes, and, like, we started at that point talking about, like, brain over personality, or brain and personality, and, you know, versus looks and all that stuff. And then it just got into, like, another conversation. But I remember having that conversation, and I felt like it was very similar to just, like, being a boss, of just, like, it's, everybody has their own way of doing things. And I feel like it's the same way with fashion, which is why I enjoy fashion so much, is, like, there's no right answer. There's literally no right answer. As long as you're paying people a fair wage and giving them their breaks, there is no right answer. There is no right answer. There is nothing that is like, oh, that's right versus wrong. Like, obviously, in morals, we're talking about, yes, like, Balenciaga, wrong. But whenever we're talking about just fashion alone, like, just the clothing and the art that is behind it, like, people forget that fashion is an art. Like, this is truly something we do every day, and it's an art. It's not just clothes. It's not just clothes to us. This is our brain. And, like, I think that's another thing that people don't think about whenever they're, like, insulting it, or, like, giving it, like, criticism. Like, we know we're not going to please everybody. That is one of the beauties of being an artist, is you're like, nah, fuck you. This is my art, not yours. But Beyonce, obviously, I've been watching her like a hawk. Beyonce had this one moment where she's, like, walking backstage, and she's like, and I'm an artist, and I'm sensitive about my shit. And I was like, and that's on period, because me too. Like, the moment that, like, there was somebody that insulted a marketing campaign, and they insulted it today in the comments. And I was upset. I got upset because I was like, you know how hard that, like, we've worked on this campaign? Like, don't get me wrong, we only had 48 hours to make it happen, but we only had 48 hours to make it happen, and it's a full-blown fucking campaign. Like, I'm finishing up the details to make sure we can go the rest of the month. Like, I'm setting up these entire 31 days, scheduled posts, scheduled content. Like, everything is going exactly how it should, and you're sitting here telling me, I don't even like Beyonce. I don't give a fuck what you like, Patricia. Shut up. Like, stop. Other people like Beyonce. You're the first person I've heard that says she don't like Beyonce. Like, what? I'm not a part of the Beehive, but I can fuck with some Beyonce. Like, what the hell? And so I was pissed. But, like, that's the thing, is, like, people don't even think about it in regards to, like, you know, marketing. Marketing is a creative thing. Like, if you're doing it right, it's creative. It's creative as shit. You have to be. And it's like, don't get me wrong, there are parts of it that are very, very logical and operational. Like, there's a reason that I'm stepping into an operations role. But, like, the creativity behind it, your brain has to be built different for things to be hitting different. If you don't have a brain that's built different, then it's not going to hit different, and you're not going to get the traction you want to get. And that's on that. That's on that. That's all I'll say about that. Because, like, people ask me, I say people, it's been, like, two people, but, like, people ask me, they're like, Jos, your brain is fucking different in regards to this marketing shit. How do you do it? And I'm like, yo, I don't know. Like, I'm going to be completely transparent. I don't know how I do it. I don't have a degree in this shit. And I tell people that. Like, they'll be like, well, your degree. No, I don't have a degree in marketing. I have a degree in product development. I have a very good understanding on how businesses run and operational stuff. And, like, I have been blessed with the opportunity to trial and error and learn. And I'm just like, it makes me chuckle, because I'm like, guys, like, it's not that it's hard. It's not that it's easy. It's that the thinking just has to be so out of the box and crazy. Like, people have a tendency to put themselves in a box. And I think this is where the, like, people see bosses and they're like, oh my God, they're such a boss. Nah, they're just not scared of shit. They're not scared of failing. They're not scared of losing 100 bands. They're not scared. They're not afraid of anything. That's what makes them a boss, because they literally have brass ones. They have brass ones. Like, I'll look, like, Jess and I will be talking about something, and I'll give her this idea, and she's like, well, what about this? And I'm like, and? Or it's like, you know, I'll be talking to, you know, a friend or something. I'm so sorry. Like, my allergies are about to beat me up. But I'll be talking to a friend, and they'll, like, you know, a lot of my friends have businesses and stuff, and I remember looking at someone, and I told them, you need to do this, this, and this, and they were like, but that's kind of, like, a bad publicity, and I'm like, good or bad, it's all publicity. Like, at the end of the day, that shit sells. Bad shit sells, good shit sells. Like, I believe in this whole Hailey Bieber, Selena Gomez debacle, there has probably been a major spike in rare beauty sales. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. And, like, I was sitting there and I was talking to Jess the other day about how, like, there's that company that just released those big red boots, and they're called Mischief, and they're a marketing company. That's all they are. They're a marketing company, and they have these big boots, and they're like Astro Boy boots, and you've seen them probably everywhere at this point. Like, Coi Leray wore them during a performance for somebody, I can't remember who, but Coi Leray wore them during a performance. Wisdom on TikTok, he just styled them. They were all over New York Fashion Week. Like, these major influencers have them on, these major celebrities have them on. Like, it's really crazy where, like, these boots just popped up and everybody had them on. And I love it because it did exactly what it was supposed to. Like, that's a fucking campaign right there. Like, I was obsessed with it. But little did I know, this was the same company that did the Satan shoes, like, what, 2 years ago with Lil Nas X? And they had, like, a drop of human blood in them. Crazy. Crazy. These fucking shoes had a drop of blood in them and redeemed Satan shoes. And then you had Jesus shoes where they were walking on water. Like, okay, first of all, that's just a genius product in general. Like, I'm not a Satan worshiper, but, like, the parallels on that, hilarious. This is crazy. But to find out that they were the same company and 2 years later they drop a campaign that, you know, they had to pay those influencers and shit massive amounts of money. But you know where they made that money from? The controversy that they did 2 years ago. That controversy was huge. Huge. It was everywhere. Nike was suing them. There was all kinds of bullshit going on. And so, good or bad, it's all publicity is something I will stand on till the day I die. Because although not all publicity is what you want as a company, there is such thing as good, bad publicity. So, like, the publicity they got, I felt was good, bad publicity. The publicity that Hailey Bieber is getting, I feel like is true, bad publicity. Like, this shit is literally tarnishing her name. And they had shit that they was like, people were like, nah, I don't fuck with that, like, whatever. But people didn't realize it was even a marketing agency. They were blaming Lil Nas X. They were blaming Nike themselves. Like, people didn't, like, it didn't come out until, like, 2 weeks after the whole scandal that Nike was suing the marketing company because they didn't pay for them to do that. Like, they didn't give them the rights to alter the shoe or anything like that. So, like, all of this happened. And I found it so interesting because nobody was blaming the marketing company. Everybody was blaming Nike. And I tell you what, that right there is some smart positioning. That's all that was positioning. And if there is anything a marketer can do, they can make sure that they don't look like the bad guy. We're truly just master manipulators. And again, that goes back into, like, being a boss. Like, they're just master manipulators that think outside of the box. We are sitting there and we're telling you, you need something that you probably don't fucking need. There is a very small chance you actually need that. Very, very small chance you actually fucking need that. And so we're sitting there, we're telling you, you need that because if you want to look like this or act like this or hear like this or look like this, then you need this. And we know because we know you. That's all we are. We're people watchers. We understand patterns. We understand how people work. We understand how people are wired. And we manipulate the shit out of that. That's all a boss is. That's all a marketer is. And I find this hilarious because if anybody else was saying this information, like, for example, if I would have posted this podcast and it been like, it would maybe go viral on Instagram, and it would probably go viral a little easier if I was a man. And it's not, I'm not trying to like bring down the patriarchy, because really I could care less. But people call me lucky, and I'm not lucky. I'm not. I worked my ass off. And I had someone look at me the other day, and it really hurt me. Like, I haven't gotten hurt in a minute, and I was hurt by this. And, like, I was sitting there talking, and we were talking about, like, the career center at the college we go to, and they had mentioned that the career center shows favorites, and, like, shows favoritism. And I was like, I mean, okay. And they were like, well, isn't that how you got your job? And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, well, didn't like you get it through the career center? I'm like, yeah, I did. Like, my career advisor hit me up one day and was like, hey, I have this job. I think you'll be perfect for it. And she's like, exactly, favoritism. And I was like, how's that favoritism? I worked my ass off. I made that relationship with her. I literally sat there, and even though I didn't care for her personality, I really didn't care for the way that I felt like she was, like, using me, because I am unique, I am different, even out here in a place of fucking 5, almost 6 million people, I'm different. I didn't like that I felt like I was used as a popularity thing, because even every time, like, Kai would go into the career center, they would ask about me. They would talk to Kai, obviously. Like, Kai was a very popular guy around campus, too. I was popular around campus. Not in the way of, like, social media managers and influencers, but, like, in a way of, like, the important people knew who I was. And Kai was the same way. And so, like, we would walk in, and, like, we were a hell of a power couple. Like, I can't even front. We had some shit going on. And so, whenever him and I, like, I didn't go into the career center really ever. Like, I always did all my stuff via email communications, but he would go in, and he was like, yeah, they asked about you. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, yeah, they wouldn't shut up about you. And so I didn't love that, like, I was used in that sense. Like, I felt used, but it just, like, really upset me in that moment. Like, they had said that about, like, oh, because you're a favorite. And I'm like, no, like, relationships are everything. They're everything. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's something my mom raised me knowing. And so for someone to sit there and say, oh, yeah, you got that because you're a favorite, I'm like, that's funny. How did I land the job then? If I was a favorite, I wouldn't have gotten the job. Because it's not favoritism at the end of the day. It's knowing what I'm qualified for. And I was qualified for that position. And I've only done everything but show that I'm overqualified. And I've only climbed my ladder. And I try not to take things personally like that, because I understand that, like, times are tough right now. People are upset. People are just trying to find ways to make shit shake. I get that. But don't come and insult me because you're upset. Things happen. I'm upset too. I'm not the happiest in regards to where my career is at either, at all times. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm forever grateful every single day. But there are some days that I'm like, damn, if only. You know what I mean? I know I'm only 21. I know I've still got plenty of time. But it doesn't change the fact that, like, I've gotten offers from other places, and I've almost taken them. Like, Vera Wang hit me up and was like, hey, we want you. And I'm like, love you. I'm going to stick it out here, though. I'm going to stay here. I see something here. And then I'd get an offer from somebody else, and I'm like, I'm going to stay here. I appreciate it, but I'm going to stay here. And so it's like, the amount of times that I would get phone calls from the career center, and not even just from my career advisor alone, but from the career center, and it was people looking for people like me. It's not at the fact that it was a favorite. It's not at the fact that, you know, whatever. It's that I made sure that I created a bond with these people, so that way whenever they did get opportunities of a lifetime, they called me. And that's just purely good. That's good maneuvering. That's good PR. That's all it is. But I digress. I feel like that's when I called my mom after that conversation, like, the next day. It was really weighing heavy on me, and I was so upset. And so, like, I called my mom and I was like, "Mom, this is what happened." I start telling her everything. And I'm like, it just makes me so mad. Like, people think I don't work for every single thing that I've gotten. Like, I create relationships. I create bonds. Like, that's why I'm good at PR. That's why I'm good at marketing. Like, I'm tired of convincing people that I deserve to be where I am. And she's like, "Josephine, nothing's changed." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "You've been called a girl boss since you were little." "Yeah?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have." And she's like, "I know you hate that word, but you've been called that since you were little." I said, "Yeah, I have." And she goes, "But you've also been called lucky a majority of your life." And I was like, "Yeah, I have." And she goes, "And then nobody sees you crying at 3 a.m. because something just deleted that you worked on for 12 hours straight. Or nobody saw you sitting there and writing scholarship essay after scholarship essay after scholarship essay to like make sure you could afford this fucking school. Like, nobody sees you working to ensure that you can pay your rent and still be able to go out with your friends. Nobody sees you working so that way you can actually like buy these things that you want to buy. Like, nobody sees you doing what you're doing on the back end in regards to how much hard work you're putting in to make sure you can do what you want to do for the rest of your life. They don't see that. They see the accomplishments that you get because that's what you talk about." And I was like, "Because the hard work isn't pretty. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's not pretty." And she goes, "But people don't see that. People don't care to see it because it's not pretty. You said it perfectly. It's not pretty. Nobody cares to see it. Nobody cares to see what it takes to be the girl boss they keep calling you. Nobody sees what it takes to be the person you are. And so they just see you as lucky. It comes effortless to you. You don't have to work at all. It's hilarious. They don't see how hard you're working to ensure that you keep what you do every single day as exactly what you want to do." She's like, "People would look at what you've done at a regular exposure in the past year and their jaws would drop because they didn't realize that it was possible. Or they would see what you've done for yourself over the past 6 months and they would be like, holy shit, you reinvented yourself in 6 months. Like, I'm sitting in March, my month, and it's 6 months since one of the hardest days of my life. Like, we're starting to move on that 6 month mark. I think we're in the 5 month territory right now. November, like, 3rd or 4th, I was having a hard time. I was not doing well at all. I had lost my best friend. Kai and I weren't speaking at all. Like, him and I had gotten in a terrible fight. And I really didn't have anybody to depend on. I was having to go through work and still work. And my boss had just literally come to me and was like, "Hey, what's going on? Because you're not performing like yourself right now. Like, I'm not even saying you're performing badly, but you're not performing like Josephine." And I was like, "I know, it's just been like mentally I'm not doing well." And she's like, "That's completely okay, but I need you to do whatever you need to do for yourself to make Josephine come back." And I was like, "You got it." And you know, my mom always talked about this thing called muchness, and I'm gonna talk about an entire episode about muchness, and it's gonna come out this month because I love this whole concept. But like, muchness is something that it comes and goes. It's hard to keep it. It really is. It's really hard to keep it. And so that's what she was talking about, was my muchness. She wanted it to come back. I wanted it to come back. It's not enjoyable when it leaves. And so like, we're sitting at like just about 5 months since one of the hardest days of my life. Like, we're about to hit 4 months exactly. And in that day, I laid in my bed and I cried like all day long, all day long. And I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to lay there and sob. And that's what I did. And that helped bring a fire back to me. That helped me move past it. I had mourned. And that's all you need sometimes, is the ability to mourn and to be able to be your badass boss ass bitch the next self, like yourself the next day. And I kind of gotten off topic here, but like, yes, I am a woman. I am a girl. I am also a boss. But just because I'm a woman with emotions that somehow fucking hides them whenever they sometimes seem too overwhelming, and I sometimes scream a little bit more than I should because that womanly rage comes in, or I sometimes
just have to cry doesn't mean that my accomplishments are any less than a man just because they are wired differently than me. It doesn't make my accomplishments any more than a man just because I'm wired differently. At the end of the day, in the business world, I compare myself directly to men. I don't see them as better than me or whatever. I am their equal. I am their equal. In relationships, I will be submissive. Totally. I am a firm believer in let me sit in my femininity. Spoil me, please. Tell me I don't got to work today. I would love that. But you're hilarious if you think in the business world you're going to tell me what the fuck to do. Because you're not. You're my equal. And even in regards to, like, I refuse to have a business with my husband. You won't catch me having a business with my husband. I might have an entity where it's like, you know, like, I have my business, he has his, and, like, we work together. But in my business is my business. Like, I refuse to have a business with my husband because something I learned with Kai while him and I were trying to run Jury together was that, like, it's really hard to disassociate. It's hard to associate, like, disassociate the relationship from the company. And so whenever it comes to the relationship, like, obviously you care about each other. Obviously you want the best for each other. Whenever it comes to business, you don't talk the same. You don't act the same. Like, in, especially as, you know, a woman in the business world, you have to become more of an alpha and you have to really, like, show your deservance to be there. You're like, nah, I deserve to be at the end of the fucking table. And, like, perfect example of this is, like, I had this one guy that we were talking due to having, like, I was taking over one of his clients, and he was butthurt. He was a marketing agency. He sounded like he was probably 50 fucking years old by the time I had called him, because I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I need my shit. And he's like, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't think you're thinking this correctly. And then goes and tells my client, oh, well, Josephine seemed to be a little confused. No, you didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. I finally got in contact with someone that knew what they were talking about. And now I'm able to actually do my fucking job. Like, men have a tendency to try and degrade whenever they feel intimidated in regards to business alone. And it's not as bad out here in creative, I've noticed. Like, in fashion, not once have I felt like, you know, like, oh, they see me as a woman, so I'm not respected as much so. Like, if anything, I feel like I'm respected more as a woman out here in creative. But in especially whenever it comes to, like, marketing, business, logistics, like, people realize whenever I start talking to them, like, I know my shit. And so, like, so it's a little different out here, but back home I noticed it especially, and it always upset me so much. Like, I would get so pissed. Oh, I'd get so pissed. And so this was the same sort of situation, and I had to buck up and be like, no, actually, that's not what's happening. Like, you're not understanding what I'm saying, and I need you to get me in contact with whoever on your team actually understands what the fuck I'm saying, because you just told me you're not an expert in this, and I am. And so it's just kind of like you have to put on that alpha personality, that alpha persona. And whenever you're working with a significant other, sometimes it's easy to get offended. It's easy to get upset. It's easy to talk to them differently, talk to them rudely. And you don't realize you're doing it because to you, it's not rude. It's just business. But to them, it's rude because you wouldn't normally talk to them like that. And it happened with me and Kai. And the fact of, like, we were literally talking and like, we were talking about something. I can't remember what it was. It was, like, a deadline or something. And I was, like, on his head about it. And he got mad because he was, like, what the fuck? And I was, like, nah, like, get my shit done. Like, what the hell are you doing? And he thought that I was, like, I was overstepping due to our relationship and thinking I could boss him around. And I was telling him that this is the same shit I would do no matter who the fuck he is. Like, this is me in business. And we found out at that point that we are not meant to work together in that regard. Like, in regards to me being a boss and him being underneath me or vice versa, doesn't work. But if we are to work together in, like, partnership of, like, doing something for, like, with someone else, it works. Like, him and I did work on a project in school where it was, like, a sustainability project. We were working together to present something to, I believe, Guess. And so we had created this. Him and I were the ones that really did the entire fucking project for the 12 people that were involved. But we sat here one night and we did the entire project. And it was fine. It was great. We worked really well together. But we can work in collaboration. However, we cannot work directly in business together. And I learned that just as, like, Kai and I had just started talking, just started dating whenever him and I had done the collaboration. But by the time we had tried to work on this business together, we'd been together 2 years. Like, this was a long ass fucking time, and a lot of relationship shit happened in this whole mist. Us building our own careers happened in this whole mist. So, like, me expecting it to be just like it was whenever we were 2 months into dating and we didn't really know each other's, like, stop and start points. Now I know every single boundary that he has, and I know how to push every single one of them. And I'm his boss. That is excessive amounts of power. And shouldn't be present in any relationship, because me as a woman used to being an alpha in business. Whenever I showed that alpha energy to him, he didn't like it, because that's not how I am with him. I was more of a submissive to him, and not necessarily to him, but whenever I was around him, I got to sit in my feminine a little bit more. Like, I didn't have to do all these things. I didn't have to, you know, worry about all these things. I didn't have to be an alpha. I got to sit down, and it was something I enjoyed. And so, like, whenever that whole aspect of our relationship was kind of taken away, it made us really hard to where we couldn't work with each other. We couldn't do it. And that's completely fair. But I say all this to say that I hate being called girl boss, because that's the shit that happens. Is like, I have to be an alpha to stand toe to toe with the men. So why are you calling me a girl boss? Because I'm standing toe to toe to you, and I probably know more than you. Let's be real. I probably am more logical than you. I probably understand things a little bit better than you, because I can think in a logical and emotional standpoint, where you only think logical because you have no feelings. You probably don't have a fucking heart right now. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's something that really sets you apart. And maybe it's wrong for me to hate the word girl boss, because it's like, you know, you shouldn't hate it because it does set you apart. But I feel like you putting girl in there just, like, totally takes away all the work I've done to not be seen as necessarily a woman in the workplace, but another human in the workplace. Like, I don't believe it should be man, woman, whatever. Like, that's not the point of the workplace. I'm there because I'm standing toe to toe to you, and I'm just as good as you, if not fucking better. So don't come at me and say, well, you're a woman. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, she's a girl boss. No, I'm a boss. Period. Anyways, that's my tangent. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had the time of your life. I know I did. This is going up on the 2nd. So is my first podcast. It's right before this. I definitely forgot that I was going to do the 13 days of podcasting. So it's been a lot. But anyways, I'm so excited. I hope you have a great day, week, whatever it may be, and I will chat with you soon. Mwah!